back to the Up North Podcast. I'm Kirk Bangstad.
I'm Pat Kreitlow. And hey, our guest host, Kristen Lyerly, whose practice as an obstetrician gynecologist means she has cared for thousands of women and maybe 1,000 or 2,000 babies at this point delivered. Kristen, the U.S. Supreme Court unbelievably took up a Mississippi challenge to Roe v. Wade. Between that and the new Texas law authorizing bounty hunters to sue pregnant women, doctors, and others in any attempt at abortion, what should women infer from this when it comes to their own elected leaders here in Wisconsin? Could something like this happen in Wisconsin if Tony Evers were to lose the governorship in 2022?
Yes, this could absolutely happen if Governor Evers loses in 2022. He has been a firewall for us. In this year, since the beginning of the year, there has been more anti-choice legislation passed than in any other year since Roe v. Wade in 1973. So what's happening now with the Supreme Court? By the way, we have a date for when they're going to listen to the Mississippi case. It's going to be December 1st, and we should have a judgment sometime in the spring. It's been growing, but when it really happens, it's shocking. And the way that the Texas case happened, the bounties. Today, I think I saw something about a Texas abortion provider who says he performed an abortion, mm-hmm. and a man from Illinois is suing him and a man from Arkansas. Like, what is happening to our justice system? This doesn't make any sense at all. So yes, this could 100% happen in Wisconsin.
Well, especially because of the way the U.S. Supreme Court did this. They did nothing. They didn't rule on it. Normally, they would look at a case like this and say, it is so clearly flawed, we're going to strike it down. And by not even doing that, their silence basically gave a stamp of approval on the Texas law, something called the shadow docket, something that we've never seen before. And it's as if the right wing has found this back door now to basically... taking the clock way back, and it's worth saying again and again and again, these measures do not stop abortions. They stop safe abortions.
You're so That's right. And not only does this affect abortion care, but this could affect anything. The way that this legislation was written and what happened with the Supreme Court, because they essentially threw their hands in the air and said, well, gosh, we don't know if we can do anything about this. Well, we'll have to see. Well, what keeps any other state from writing similar legislation about gun control or something else on the other side? I mean, this is turning into the wild, wild west. But right now, the matter at hand is that women in Texas can't get the health care that they need. And abortion is health care. They can't get the health care that they need because they're terrified of the consequences more than they have been.
Well, you look at what it could do. First off, we talk about literally the Wild West. Wisconsin would revert to an 1849 law that, bans all access to abortion. But looking forward, Kristen, I think you noted whether you're talking about oncology or palliative care or anything, this isn't about just options for one type of care, is it?
No. So the most profound effect of all of these laws is legislative interference in the exam room. And nobody wants that. Men, women, children, nobody wants politicians making medical decisions for them. So this is women's health. But oncology, I don't think you want John Mako, who hasn't graduated from college, mandating that you see a naturopath before you see an oncologist, because that's his pet project. Or Ron Johnson requiring that you do an ivermectin trial when you really need remdesivir. You know, that doesn't make sense at all. Or how about palliative care, hospice? You have a sensitive conversation with a trusted healthcare provider. You know what your options are. You decide to die with dignity. But politicians keep introducing a law that would mandate resuscitation. So you want to die because you know you're going to die anyway, with your family surrounding you with love and comfort and music and songs. And instead you get a breathing tube and poked with needles and chest compressions, and it's torture. So this is essentially a bill that was recently reintroduced by Senator Roger Roth and Representative Jim Steinecke. It was vetoed by Governor Evers in the last session, and it's the Born Alive bill, which I call the why the hell would you torture a vulnerable family during one of the most difficult times in their lives, Bill?
That's a better title. That makes sense.
What do I know? I'm just listening to these people and having conversations about what their options are and trying to make good decisions for them. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. We need politicians to stay out of our exam rooms.
So I just want to like take this, either you, Chris, or Dr. Lyerly, or Pat, like, let's take back up for a second, because what is happening in 2021? Like, I feel like the world is upside down, like in so many different ways. Like, yes, Trump is out, but we know Republican politicians, most of them don't really care about abortions, about restricting abortions. They don't care. They don't go to bed at night saying, oh, we're killing babies. There's a strategy here to win power, to gain power. Yeah. And the strategy seemingly is, this abortion issue gets certain hugely religious people to vote Republican no matter what. These are wedge issues. We've talked about wedge issues all the time, guns, abortion. But if you win on this and you actually do restrict all abortions, does that help the Republican Party win seats? Like, what's really going on? What's behind the scenes when it comes to getting people sick with COVID, not wearing masks, restricting abortions?
Literally killing off their voter base? It's ignoring the demographic trends that are out there. And you certainly saw it in Wisconsin in 2020, where Democratic candidates made their gains in the suburbs of Milwaukee that people thought would be, deep red forever. And they are not, as more suburban women and young families and young people look at this and say, this is not for them. This is something that helped one generation of Republicans get power. It's now helping a new generation of Republicans basically try to seize power by any means necessary, overturning an election if need be. And it was all about using these issues that should be instead the most personal of issues, Kristen. There should be something that basically, you talked about the name of a bill. How about the Women's Health Protection Act? That seems like a pretty good name for a bill that would do what it says.
The Women's Health Protection Act is amazing. And our listeners can find out more about it at actforwomen.org. This is a bill that is currently, it was actually sponsored. One of the lead sponsors was Senator Tammy Baldwin, who has always been in the pilot seat when it comes to health care and making sure that women have access to reproductive health care. I'm just such a huge fan of hers. So we've got this Women's Health Protection Act. It is there. It's in the Senate right now. It's got a ton of support. It's a Democrat bill. The Republicans don't like it because it would create a statutory right for healthcare providers to provide abortion care and a corresponding right for the patients to receive that care free from medically unnecessary restrictions that single out abortion and impede access. It would be a firewall for us.
It basically brings to life the question that Kamala Harris asked as a senator when she asked, can you name a single law that dictates to men what they can do with their bodies?
Yeah.
And if you're hearing crickets chirping right now, it's for that reason. So Kristen, we really appreciate your perspective on this from a medical standpoint. And as we wrap things up for this week, I want to get back to where we started, which was some of our summer plans and moving beyond. Did you really say you biked 100 miles at once, or like in a day, or what is this biking 100 miles?
I did it on Saturday, just this last Saturday up in Door County. There was a wonderful event
I biked 100 miles.
Right.
Oh, I thought that was like over 2 weeks. I thought you were logging that in like a normal person.
Kirk has logged 100 miles on a bicycle since the Carter administration.
That was my tricycle. Come on, I'm not that old.
They were dangling some Minocqua Brewing Company beer at the end of the ride, so I had to keep going.
Oh, well, there we go. And Kirk, we only have about 30 seconds. We didn't get into much from Minocqua Brewing, but Sarah Yacoub's going to be here next week. We'll talk more about things then. But I imagine just, you know, the 10-second version is that it's been a good summer for the brewing company and the Super PAC.
We're selling beer. We're getting into Illinois. You know, the more beer that people buy, the more shows we can put on like this, and the more we can help school boards not have nut jobs in them in northern Wisconsin.
Well, from your lips to God's ear. Kristen, thank you again so much. Kirk, thank you again. That's our show for this week. We thank you for joining us at the cabin. Say goodnight, Kirk.
Good night, Kirk. I mean, good night, everyone.
We'll see you next time.
Good night.
Hi, Kristen.